What's going on, people, man? You're tuning into episode 17 of the It's Not Easy podcast, man. Before we get on the way, though, I think let's give a round of applause for over a year into the pod, man. First episode was, I think, a year ago, last week or something. So, yeah, man, we've come a long way, man. But how you guys been, though, man? You smooth?
Yeah, been good, man.
Thanks for having me on, innit?
Yeah, thank you for having us on, bro.
Of course, man. How's you, man, week's been in that? What's been in that?
All good.
It's been good. Can't complain. How's yours been, bro?
Yeah, man. Flowing work. Flowing the CM, man. Just grateful, man. Flowing life, man. But let's get into some... Actually, firstly, just so that people know who you guys are and that, what do you guys do in the creative space and stuff?
I'll let Raf go first.
So, as he said, my name's Raf. We've got our own pod with a couple more of our boys called The Final Whistle. Check that out.
Solid.
And then also... I'm part of the United View team as well, so I go on their channel as well.
Solid stuff.
Nice little flex. Yeah, like you said, we got a pod together, The Final Whistle. My name's Mids. And also have another pod, Outcheer Pod. I do that with one of my other guys. Kind of different to the other one. But yeah, just sort of podcasting, content creating. That's pretty much it.
No, sorry, man. That's sick, man. But let's get the show flowing, man. So we've got some... quick-fire questions, yeah?
Okay.
That's what people know, yeah.
Catch you off guard, bro.
What clubs do you guys support? What's people know?
United, Man United.
Best team in London.
Okay, Arsenal, okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, cool, same, cool. Yeah, Arsenal, just so people know, yeah, cool. First question. Finishing second with no trophy or eighth with FA Cup?
Second with no trophy.
Well, why are we doing this, though? We can't start. What are we doing?
Answer the question, bro.
Can't do that.
Answer the question.
That's invalid. I'm not answering that one.
It's quickfire.
Calm. Second.
Because second, yeah?
Second.
And you're saying eighth with the cup?
No, second.
Oh, okay.
100%.
Cool. Okay, so.
I've been there before. I don't like it.
Yeah. Okay,
I prefer second a lot better.
Yeah, okay. Cool. Yeah, cool. Same. Let's start back. Yeah, cool. Bruno or Odegaard?
Odegaard.
Bruno.
Let me say Bruno. Over Odegaard. As a cam.
Bruno is top three cams in the world.
Okay.
Top three comes in the world. Obviously, he's playing in a team in which, you know, he's surrounded by players that maybe are not at his level.
Yeah.
But what we saw against City in the final and in a few of the games leading up to the final, obviously, he missed that Arsenal game.
Yeah.
But
he's a great player.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, yeah.
He was injured. He's not usually injured. That's another thing.
Yeah, he did miss that game. Yeah.
He's always available for us as well.
And then he was back the week after, didn't it? Just coincidentally. It's cool, though. Yeah.
Okay.
That's
Anyway. But nah, I think Bruno's quality, man.
Yeah, Bruno. Yeah. And you?
Odegaard. I mean, kind of like you said, top three cams in the world, but Odegaard ain't free. Like, I think personally, if not for Kevin De Bruyne, he's probably the best in the world. Like, what he does on the ball, the vision, that's the crazy weight of pass, and then even if you think about, like, the other things as well. So his dribbling and his work rate as well.
Yeah, link up player, everything, man.
So it's crazy.
He's better than Bellingham, better than Foden, better than Musiala, all those three players, yeah?
I'm not going to lie to you. If you're saying Bellingham based off of this one year, then that's kind of weak still.
Musiala have been putting in the work, man.
Can't exactly. Like, you can't...
Tell him put his trophies on the table, then.
What, his Champions Leagues and that? Because he can do that. Because he was there in that team. He's got the Champions Leagues there, so like, what? Are we really going to do that? He said put trophies,
isn't
it?
That's crazy.
He said trophies.
You can't do that.
I'm just saying.
I'm after, man.
He said he's up for the trophies.
Yeah, true.
You can't do that, man.
I didn't want to go there, innit? But you did. So
yeah, I think anyway. I think Odegaard for me personally, just because as a cam and as a creative hub of a team, I just feel like he plays that role a lot better. Bruno's got his amazing qualities, but I think for a cam for me, yeah, Odegaard, cool. Yeah, this situation is a World Cup final, 119th. Minute for England, Kane has come off injured. England get a penalty. It's either Saka or Rashford is going to take. Who are you guys taking?
God help us.
Who are you guys taking?
Rashi. Got back my boy.
You getting Rashi?
Yeah, so.
You didn't sound confident with that one.
Nah, Rashford, man.
I can't lie. I'm going Saka. I'm going Saka, and do you know why I'm saying
why
I'm saying Saka? Yeah, is because obviously I know people are gonna say about the Euros when he missed the pen and we got knocked out. But since then, He's become Arsenal's penalty taker, and since then he stepped up to the mantle whenever he's needed. So
yeah. Big penalties as well.
Yeah. Rashford ain't really been in too much confidence this year. So I don't know.
It's because Bruno takes the pens, isn't it? But that's fine. Don't worry.
Okay, fair. Yeah, that's true. To be fair,
Odegaard don't take your pens. Final.
Yeah, because Saka does.
Yeah, that's
like we said, World Cup final. Bro.
Yeah. But with this Saka, I just feel like if I put him up to take it, I just feel like if it was to go wrong, I just feel it's like he just feels more delicate. He feels like if it goes wrong, man, yeah, can really drive
you not because you not baby the guy. Like you not, he's actually how old is he? What, 23?
No, he's not. He's 22. I think even now he's 21. I think he's even 21.
He's not 21.
No, he can't be 21.
I think he's turning 22.
Either way, we can't be babying him anymore. Even still, cool, doesn't that mean that someone like Rashford, if that situation was to come, obviously he's all hypothetical, wouldn't you trust someone like Rashford, a bit more older, to take it?
Thing is, I might, but then again...
Who's got the bullshit reckon?
Rashford. Yeah, that's a no-brainer.
Better composure?
What do you mean, composure?
like on the ball? Or?
We have like a goal scoring opportunity.
I might say Saka, but it's only because when it comes to like the rest of his play, he doesn't necessarily rush things or put a foot wrong. Mm. Whereas with Rashford, sometimes I feel like his decision making isn't the greatest.
Yeah, his decision making is a bit shaky. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll
give you
that.
No, so he's more composed.
What you said, didn't
I? No, but give me the answer, bro.
Who'd you take in the final, though? 190th minute, you got a pen.
What, the pen?
Yeah.
Rashford,
yeah. Cool. I hear it. I'm not mad at that.
Pretty unanimous. All right, cool. Who do you say has the better Premier League legacy? Cristiano Ronaldo or Henry?
Henry. Henry. I don't think there's really a...
That's a good question.
It's a harder question than it seems, actually. I can't lie.
Yeah, because Ronnie did his thing in the league, man.
Yeah.
But at the same time...
Indoor season as well.
Three Premier League titles in a row with United.
But at the same time, that Arsenal team that was rivaling and going back to back with United, if you think about one of the most scariest players in that team, it's Thierry Henry. Like, till this day, his assist and goal record hasn't been broken.
No, but don't you think the Arsenal defenders were petrified of Ronaldo as well?
But I hear it, but I think it's different levels because I think people were only like petrified of Ronaldo when he became that Real Madrid Ronaldo and it's like, this guy is like Thanos, he's inevitable. Whereas Henry, when he's at Arsenal,
even when Ronaldo
was at United,
he was still.
Bro, like, that's when I think. Him off the left at United, raw talent from Sporting was quite scary anyway. I'm not going to say he was better than he was at Real Madrid because that's just not true. But I think the Arsenal players were definitely frightened of him then.
I think. But
there's clips.
Yeah, there's clips, but there's also clips of TH14, bro. From young. So it's different. It's
but I think the Ballon d'Or in the Premier League and he won the
It feels cemented. At the same time,
but Henry's legacy in the Premier is nuts though. His records
and he's an invincible
that's a tough one.
I think Henry might edge really it he might just edge it, but that every now and again on Twitter I see that clip of Ronaldo away at Highbury with 19. Two goals. I was just
You got the free kick as well off the right hand side. I can't remember who he was in goal as well. But the free kick, the knuckle ball.
Champions League.
He's got some legacy moments, man.
That one still scarred me to this day, I can't lie.
But at
the same time,
I'm watching that game, heartbroken that game, man.
Thierry Henry's magnificent two touch finish from outside the box against United.
Yeah.
Top bins.
They're both legacy acts, man.
Both of them.
That's a hard one still.
Alright, cool. Last two, or maybe last one, unbeaten season or treble winners?
Treble.
Okay.
Wait, you mean unbeaten in all comps or?
No, it's a league.
Treble.
Might take unbeaten.
Okay.
Yeah.
How many trophies do you get for being unbeaten in the league?
You get one, clearly.
How many trophies do you get from winning the treble?
It's in the name, three.
But you get one golden one.
There we go.
Golden.
Raph. Yours ain't golden. Yours ain't golden.
And we got three, so I'm not worrying about the colour.
No, but I'm just saying, like, to go unbeaten, that means... and people try to do this online to discredit the Invincible, saying, oh, we lost five games that season because of FA Cup.
In the cups and that, yeah.
Champions. Like, if you're talking about a league strictly and I don't lose to anyone else in the country that's over a 38-game season, I'm taking that. Can't
that's
lie to you.
It's too special, man. It's too special.
I'm taking the trouble.
Fair play. Next one, yeah. So, you've got two options here, yeah? Either Mo of the Boys or... Barley the missus.
The missus, man. It's a draw. This is a draw.
There's a gun behind the cupboard. Choose wisely. I'm cut liar.
What's more fun to you? Like, if you could choose, like, what would you more enjoy more? DLT Mo of the Boys or Barley the missus?
It's a political answer still, can't lie. I might. Do you know what Mo would demand of me? I can't lie.
Yeah.
Just because it'll be like, it'll be, yeah, that's my answer then, man.
Kind of
like,
park that one, yeah?
Yeah, just park it like this. Please, I can't elaborate on my answer.
Cool. But let's get into it, man. So obviously, like, during this week, the UEFA squads have been announced, man. Mm. And there's been a lot of talk, a lot of narratives going around, a lot of decisions and so on and so forth. But starting off, though, you know when you saw the finalised squad from Southgate?
Yeah.
What were you guys' initial thoughts? What were your initial thoughts? And do you want to start with the people who were like in the bigger squad and then got taken out? So yeah. That was Kwanzaa, Braithwaite, Jones, and Maddison.
Grealish and Maguire.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the younger ones that you mentioned, because the reason why I said Grealish and Maguire is because those are the ones that surprised me more.
Mm.
I think Punks are going out. Expected Jones going out.
Expected, yeah.
Braithwaite, I think, is unlucky.
Very unlucky,
especially because Maguire's out as well. But honestly, Southgate, I don't know what he's doing. I'll be real. I'm not too impressed. I'm not impressed.
How do you guys feel about the squad overall?
I think
it's all a good squad.
Yeah, I think it's all right. Like, it's a squad that can still achieve. But like, I'm kind of the opposite to you. You know, I think Southgate made ratchets in trimming the squad in the way he did.
Okay.
But at the same time, I don't really have that much faith in Southgate. But the squad is good enough, and the squad has been good enough. But
you know, Lewis Dunk is going.
You see, Southgate, I gave him props because he's axed his boys in Maguire and Grealish. He's axed those two because they shouldn't be on the plane. But people like Lewis Dunk. It feeds back into the reason why England have never won anything since the 60s, and the reason why England don't look likely to win things is because they're used to sort of the same characteristic in player, and especially centre halves. Mm. When you've got people like, I will say this until he gets his call up, or until Tomori. Do you know what I'm saying? Tomori, he's proven himself.
Marginalised, man.
There's nothing else that he can do. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And then even, you know, if you were not saying Tomori, there have been players that have been playing a lot better. Like, for example, before the whole World Cup fiasco with Ben White,
he's
been playing great for Brighton, great for Arsenal.
Yeah.
And it was like...
You never even got looking, did you?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah. How do you guys feel about Braithwaite, his situation? Because if you look at the makeup of the centre-backs that we have... It doesn't look like we have any natural left-footed centre-halves in the squad. How do you guys feel about that situation?
Yeah, I mean, he might be thinking about putting Luke Shaw as a left centre-back. Maybe not to start off with, but I mean, it's an option.
I'm disappointed.
That might be his thought. That, all right, cool. If I need to play a left-footed centre-back, say someone gets injured, Luke Shaw, he is an option, whether you like it or not, he is an option there.
Yeah.
I think it's a risk. I think Braithwaite deserved to go after 100%. The season he had. Obviously, at the start of the season, he himself would have been thinking that it would even be in with a shout. But after the good season he's had, I think he should have been chosen.
And like, I think he's played most of Everton's games, if not. Yeah, I think he's played 35 or something this season. And Everton's defence have been one of like top five in the league. So it's like, what more can he do? Lewis Dunk for Brighton. Brighton haven't been great this year. So
shocking defensively, Brighton this year. You know what I mean? So
again.
Yeah. How would you guys structure your back four? In terms of
wait, assuming that Luke Shaw's fit?
The
but he's not fit for the first game though. But he's not.
If he's not fit, I'll start Trippier on the left.
Yeah.
Centre backs of Stones and.
It just feels uninspiring, man.
It is 100%.
Like, I feel like if Brentford was there, like, he would be like a natural. Okay, he would have centre back alongside Stones. It feels okay. Cool. I've got a back line that even though like they haven't played like, a lot of games alongside each other, but it does still feels at least cool. You've got the profile that can work. But like if you put let's say for example you put the Mark Gay along Stones. It just feels like, I'm not sure how they're going to mesh together.
Especially you compare to the rest of the team is full of, like, in my opinion, world-class players. And then you get to the back and then it's just like, whoa, you've got Stones who's world-class. And yeah, we've got good right-back options, centre-back pairing and left-back is a bit of an issue.
And that's the base of a team. Like, if that's not set, do you know what I mean? Like,
and that's one of my biggest criticisms of Southgate. Because I feel like he's not picked a natural, like, I feel like, as a coach, your defence should be the most solid thing and the most, like, you don't, like, for example, you can put a right wing on left wing and he might do the job there. You can put a centre mid, maybe a bit higher up to that 10 position and he can potentially do the job there. But I'm not so hot on putting a right back in left back or putting a left back
in. It feels unsecure, innit?
Yeah.
Unsecure. But you know what, a criticism that I do have of Southgate is that, if it's ever, like, you know, with Harry Maguire, like, he's been someone that, let's say the past like 18 months, and we know the form that he's had, but he's been great for England. But with the age and the stage of like, his time that he's in, you should be thinking about the future in terms of, okay, after Maguire, who's going to be my pairing? And it feels like he's had no like plan, okay, cool. Lisa will be my pairing, and this is how like we're going to push forward. So now that Maguire, he's injured, it feels like it's up in the air now. Like there's been no like plan B, okay, cool. Who's my pairing going to be? That past Harry Maguire, and it's just like it feels up in the air, man.
It goes back to why I said I don't think Southgate's the right guy, and I feel like it's just he hasn't, obviously it's very hard comparing like domestic football and international football because you, with the coaches you don't get as much one-on-one time with the overall team and it's kind of hard to establish a way to play if like players are coming from City and Arsenal where it's more possession based then you've got players coming from United where it's a bit more counter-attacking and other sort of teams where it's all very different. But at the same time, he's put no thought into that. He's had his favourites and he's stuck with his favourites, and then he's been quite arrogant and naive when it comes to his in-game management, thinking that my favourites will do the job, and then if needed I'll bring on someone from the bench and hopefully they can inspire something. But
to play devil's advocate though, like if you look at the rest of the team, it's full of, like, even the world-class players that I was mentioning, someone like Foden, Bellingham, Saka, these lot are 22, 21 years old. When you look at our defenders, you've got Stones, who's, I don't know how old he is now, maybe 27, 28, something like that. But then you don't, these lot, the other attackers, they're doing it at their clubs to a world-class level. But it's not really Southgate's fault that there aren't younger players that are playing at the same level as those attackers, if that makes sense.
I mean,
you got to do it at club first. If there were centre-backs who were, you know, playing in Champions League finals, winning the league, cool. Of course Southgate will play them.
No, but that then plays into the question, the massive elephant in the room, why doesn't he pick Tomori? Because Tomori proved himself champion. So fair enough, they didn't get past Inter in the Champions League semi-final last season, but then he's proved that he's been one of the key defenders when they won the Scudetto. So surely that wealth of experience in Italy should
translate.
Exactly. Whereas someone like Maguire, who was under such a barrage from the media, wasn't really playing at United. And then even when he was, he wasn't really putting in the most convincing performances.
What, this season?
No, I'm saying like last season. Like last 18 months hasn't been the greatest for him.
Yeah.
It has been nothing like since he first came to United or even at Leicester.
Like Maguire?
I'm just saying. I'm just comparing the two. And I'm like, I get what you mean, but Southgate doesn't really care about that unless it's staring him right in the face and everyone is asking these questions, which goes into why Ben White had a call up in the first place. And then, that's why.
True. I hear it. I'm not Southgate's biggest fan as well, to be honest. So.
And I feel like he had the perfect opportunity with Brentford as well to like, okay, you got someone who he's playing at a good level now. He's going to be the future of this team. Bring him into the squad, man. Like, bring him in. Like, he's got like a unique profile as well. Bring him into the squad. But we are where we are now. But who would your back four be though?
I would, if Luke Shaw's fit left back, if not, Trippier, yeah. unfortunately. But then I'd put Kyle Walker right back, and I'd go with... I think I'd go with Konsa and Stones as my centre-back okay. pairing.
Yeah, that's fair.
Or Trent.
I'll put him in midfield.
And I've seen a lot of people say that, you know. How do you think about the midfield? Because I was talking to someone the other day, and he says that he envisions Rice and Trent as a double pivot.
see that? That would be chef's kiss. That'd be amazing.
I don't know.
Do
about
Trent can do it there, though.
Yeah.
At the top level.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's enough ability. I like the ability in terms of passing range of Trent and even of Declan as well. But in terms of carrying the ball forward,
yeah,
I would rather have Cobbie in midfield. And I know I'm a United fan, so that's going to sound biased. But I think having Declan, Cobbie and Bellingham as a midfield three,
yeah,
and then having Trent on the right. I think Trent in right back, but also if we come up against someone like an Mbappe, right, on the left-hand side, you put Walker there because you know on a one-on-one, he's going to be better at dealing with that than Trent.
Yeah.
So I feel like we can have a bit of flexibility with our right-back, but midfield, I think Declan, Cobbie and...
I like that makeup.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not mad at that as well, to be fair, but I can't lie. If I was Southgate, I wouldn't even play a back four. I'd play a back three. Because I feel like it allows us to get the best out of all of our players. Because if you put Trent on that, like, say if you do like a 3-4-3, you put Trent on that right mid, it gives him enough freedom to sort of worry about going forward and, you know, putting crosses in and actually doing a bit more ball carrying. Yeah. And then you've got someone, for example, like Kyle Walker, who's played right centre-back both for City and for England in the past.
And he's been solid there.
Exactly. He can sort of do that
I
job.
I heard that, to be fair.
It makes a bit more sense.
But the only thing is, then, where does Jude play?
Jude, I think, can still play centre-mid that way. Because if you look at the way football's going now, it's a lot less rigid in terms of formations. It's more so about how it is in possession, your phases of play, and how you are as a shape in transition. So I feel like if it's a thing where we are in possession, you can have like almost to say the way a lot of teams set up now, you have like a flat five in midfield or four, and you know, one sort of either in front or behind.
Yeah.
And if we do it in front, Bellingham has proven not only in Madrid but in his career that he can play sort of anywhere within that central midfield area.
Yeah, he can definitely be an eight role.
Exactly.
He's proven that at Dortmund. Yeah, yeah. How do you guys feel about the situation? Because with the Jack Grealish and Rashford, two huge names who aren't in the squad, and there's been like a mixed opinion because people are saying you don't have that wild card in your squad, and then other people are saying, but everyone's been saying to Southgate that he has to be real in terms of players who are informed, players who just aren't. How do you guys feel on those two names and them not being in the squad?
I mean, if we're being honest and fair, neither of them are informed.
Yeah.
So, but my thing was, there's been a lot of talk about Grealish being out. I feel like it's worse that Rashford's out. Because I think Kane plays better, first of all, when he has two faster players either side of him. And when you look at the way Rashford plays for England, it's so much better than he's been playing for Man United over the last over the last year or so. And I feel like, well, Rashford, even in the postseason, he still had a better season than Grealish. So I'm more upset that Rashford's not in. And I thought also, off the bench, you can bring someone like Rashford on.
Yeah.
And he's actually one of the older players in the team now in comparison to the likes of Gordon and, you know, a few of the other young ones like Saka as well.
Yeah, no, I agree, to be fair with you. I think, if anything, we should be talking about why Rashford isn't in there. Because I feel like it's common knowledge, at least in the footballing world, that Rashford, on his day, is one of the top talents, like, not just in the country, but potentially in the world.
Yeah.
And I feel like if he does have that moment where, you know, 60th minute is 0-0, it's 1-1, and you need someone to make that difference, Rashford can come on, inject that pace into the front three, make things happen, and cause problems for the other team's defence. Whereas Grealish, I don't see him doing that. Yeah. I see Grealish coming on more so if you're trying to see the game out and you want to win more fouls, you want to, you know,
slow the game down.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't think that's what we need.
Yeah, but my only thing with that on Rashford is that, does he, I don't think he deserves that though. If you look at his season that he's had, over Gordon, for example,
okay.
And like, I don't think he deserves that. And how long are we able to speak about, yes, in front of the bench, in behind, yes, like, he's one of the best players in the league in terms of getting them behind in front of goal. I've been proving that. Like, him and Son have been like class of that for the past 5 years. But I don't think he deserves that chance anymore, because all season you've virtually done nothing. Virtually all season. Of course, he's had some games where he's
scored. Yeah.
But he's virtually done nothing all season. So I feel like if you can't show up for your club over a 38-game season, why do you warrant like the opportunity to do that in a major tournament?
I agree.
I hear that.
I agree.
Do you know what I mean?
To me, it's not Rashford over Gordon. It's the fact that it's Rashford over Ivan Toney. That's where I'm at.
Okay.
Because I think taking Kane, Watkins, and Ivan Toney, you've got three strikers who can only play strike, and we never play two up top.
Never.
That's not needed.
Even if we need a goal, we don't do it.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you got Kane, you got Watkins as the second option. I think those two have to go. You don't need Ivan Toney. Yeah. If you bring someone like Rashford, you've got both a left wing option and a strike option. You've got Bowen, you can also play strike. Exactly.
Cover your back.
And I thought Tony's only played half the season. I know Rashford hasn't had a good season, but Tony hasn't been. As I said, he's only played half and he didn't come back as good as he.
But
that's confusing.
You see, this is where I'd love to see us take inspiration from. I guess nations like France and Italy, in a sense where if a player who is eligible to play for England is cooking and they're doing very, very well, first or second division, they might potentially get that like sort of last resort chance in the team in terms of if you're choosing between Rashford and Toney, who haven't really been great, but you've got this one player who is coming into the Premier League and he's been on fire for his team. Someone like Steffi Mavididi, I wouldn't be too upset if he was potentially called in as that last resort option. Only because
like, this is top level football.
I do get it, but it's a thing where you need to allow players to understand that if you have a great season, regardless, you are going to be in the conversation. Do you get what I'm trying to say?
There's got to be a limit for that though, because that's like me saying I've had a great season, whatever league I might be playing in. So therefore, Gareth needs to call me up.
No.
So there has to be a limit. I feel like, you know, Euros, World Cup, this is the world stage. This is elite level where you play the best players. If you haven't even played in the Premier League yet, or you haven't played in the top division in any country yet, you can't go to
But to
Euros.
Be fair, like, in Mavididi's favour, he has. Because he did it in the French first division, and he was
I mean in the season that you just come in.
Yeah,
we're talking about form.
First.
You need to be in good form. Being in good form when it comes to this level means you should be playing at this level all season.
Which I hear. I'm just saying. So for example, it's a 26 man squad this year. So if you've already had your 23, and then you're 24, you're 25, and you're thinking you've got one or two last picks, and the people that you're sort of picking for in that front area haven't really been doing great at this top level for the last 12, 18 months. But then you've got someone who, over the last 12, 18 months, bear in mind, they might, you know, just be trying to get their team back into the Premier League and whatnot, like Mavididi is. I feel like if they're having a really good season, which he is, he should potentially be an option where it's like, okay, do you know what? We'll bring you around the team and you might not be, you're not going to start. You might come on the bench or not. It's up to you to prove that you deserve to be at this level. That type of thing.
I think he's given that stroke to people like Eze though, and people like you know what I mean.
I think our squad is too good.
Too many players in the Premier League who are vying for a chance.
Got people like Solanke who missed out as well.
You got players like who don't get a shout. But I think you did make a good point though. Like Toney probably didn't need to be there, bro. You know what I mean?
Nah,
he doesn't mean he needs to be there for honest. Like,
I think he's there for penalty shots.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? He doesn't need to be there.
So
free striker, there's no need for it. It's interesting though. I did hear like quite a few like interesting stats about this squad. So apparently, 19 of the 26 players in the squad have played in the Football League at some point. In their like stage of their career, which is quite interesting.
So, as in the lower leagues,
Football League. So in Championship, League One, and League Two, and 13 players in the squad have started their career outside the Premier League, which is interesting. So players like Ivan Toney, Jared Bowen, Watkins as well, and I saw an article I was reading about it, and it said that. You know, this squad is a great advert for the Football League in terms of showing that you can come from a Championship or like a League Two and you can make it if you put in the work. So it's good to see that. I mean, a few of those names like Eze, like
I mean, even someone like Harry Kane, you're talking about, you know, probably, arguably the best striker in the world right now. He spent time in the Championship as well.
Was it Leicester?
He was at Leicester when they were in the Championship as well. That, I know that was only on loan, but even him, he's come from there as
100%.
Well. 100%. I think Madison's played in Championship as well. Yeah, you know, quite a few. You got Wharton, who started the season, wasn't amazing in the Premier League.
Well, Madison's not there anymore. But,
so, Madison ain't even there. Man. But Wharton, anyway, I think that's even a better example.
Yeah, Wharton.
You got Bellingham. It was only two, three years ago he was playing that Birmingham City in the Championship as well. And now, I actually agree. I've never really
even
thought like
even someone like Jared Bowen, who came from, you know, Hereford, who I think aren't even in the top three divisions right now, or top four.
He's made it through.
What do you call it? Watkins, Exeter City.
Yeah.
Tony, Scott, you know what I mean? Days at Peterborough. Like, it's a great advert, and I like it, to be fair.
But it's quite interesting. But then on the flip side of that, it did say that so nine players out of the squad have less than five caps for England.
Who's that?
I don't have the full list.
You've got Wharton,
Eze. Wharton, Eze, Tony,
Watkins. Probably he ain't got five yet.
Probably not. Yeah,
he hasn't got five.
Gay,
got players
Consor,
like,
I hit Ramsdale as well, probably.
Yeah. Through the keepers as well. Yeah. So it's it does feel like a bit of a inexperienced squad slightly, but you take the good and the bad in it. Like, you gotta have a mix.
That might be why he's taken someone like Lewis Dunk as well. Actually, maybe just because you know you ain't got the experience Maguire there.
Yeah.
Take Lewis Dunk. Experienced in.
In
Brighton, innit? I hear it. It's not like you got Tomori over there, just overseas chilling, and it's all right.
Wow. I don't get it, Tomori.
He needs to switch to Nigeria or Canada. He needs to make his mind up, man. Honestly,
it feels a bit late for him to switch, though. You don't think?
No, I feel like if he's even if he switched to Canada, they'd take him with open arms. If he switched to Nigeria, he'd take him with open arms as well.
100%. And just 12 out of the squad are in the big six. So a bit of research into that, it was it's the lowest out of all of his squads that he's picked for to Southgate in his time at, as the England head coach. So it's interesting to see that it's a mixture of bad form and injuries as well. So like, it's not all just like the big six is over. Of course not.
Yeah.
But like players like RJ, Chilwell is someone where if he was flowing and in form, he'd probably be in the squad. So you've got a few of those players where if they were playing better, 12 will turn up to like 14 or 16. But it's interesting to see though, like it is a good mix throughout the whole Premier League in the squad. So yeah, man, like it's an interesting squad. I just don't feel confident in it, personally.
I don't know.
We're not going to win it.
I don't
feel confident. And especially when you don't have, like, this goes back to my other point that I made before. When you don't have players who can play in their natural position, at least in the squad, doesn't really make sense. Like, I know we said Luke Shaw's there, but he's not really fit, is he? He's not fit for the first game. Is he going to be fit for the second and third? We don't know.
Right?
Do you know what I mean? Like, I would have taken someone like Tyrick Mitchell. Had a great.
He's
had a good season for Palace.
I did hear someone say that.
And I'm not going to lie to you. Aside of Luke Shaw, I think he's probably England's best left back.
But the problem is, you can't really, in my opinion, you can't make your debut for your country at the Euros. Well, you can't be the first time that you're going on camp with your country.
If anything, he could have been in the provisional squad in the 33, try him out like he did with Eze, like he did with Wharton and all these other players, see how he actually does.
How come he wasn't given a chance? It's true.
Also, we don't. Luke Shaw might be fit because Maguire's not made it because he's not fit, and that was hit and miss as well. So it might be that Luke Shaw's fit.
But even then, still, you haven't played for how long for your club? You haven't played football in how long? True. So, is it really now in this tournament that you want to be shaking the cobwebs off? I don't really know.
It's interesting. So, who's favourites for you guys? Who would you say is coming to this tournament in the best form, flowing in terms of, like, I fancy them for the trophy?
I might say Spain.
Okay.
Spain.
I think France is the obvious shout.
Yeah,
I like the Portugal squad. You know.
Same.
That's a good shout.
That squad is a very like deep squad still. I also like the look of Germany though, man.
Really?
Germany.
Look at Germany. Jamal Musiala, Wirtz.
Havertz.
Havertz 9. Do you know what I mean? I'm just liking the look. I'm just liking the look of it, man.
Oh, about number there, man.
I'm liking the look of it still. Yeah. So, and we'll see. Have you got any player of the year shouts? I mean, sorry, player of the tournament shouts. I know it's early, but for like an early prediction. Who you thinking? Player of the tournament. Who's gonna cook?
I think Florian Wirtz is gonna have an amazing tournament. I think he really is. He's it's part of this redemption tour that he's on.
Yeah, like after that injury, innit?
Yeah, and not many people talk to of a youngster coming back from an ACL injury like better than they were before.
Honestly.
So
honestly. Do you guys think the players who have played like a lot of games in the season are gonna be impacted in the tournament in terms of the fatigue, how long they can last in games, or you think these are all like
it's down for Southgate to manage that, really.
Yeah.
I feel like it's all about how they train. Obviously, they've had some time off now.
Yeah.
I know the guys who are playing for Madrid, well, Bellingham, actually.
They got extra week, I think.
Yeah, yeah, but, you know, they've had some time now. I think they should be okay, really. I think they should be okay. And at the end of the day, every country that's participating in Euros, or at least the top... We're in the same boat here.
Top nation have the same problem.
Yeah. So, yeah. In terms of the player of the tournament, I was going to say, I'm backing my boy Bruno. Just wanting that clipped in it.
Okay, so I'll come back to this. He's a great tournament player.
Yeah,
he's a streetwise.
For international, like Charles Bruno.
No, international. No, I know for Portugal, Bruno does well. I just ain't hearing it. I'm just not hearing it for player at the tournament.
Chance creation, his ball striking in key moments. He's got great spatial awareness. I watched an interview that Roberto Martinez. Did Real Ferdinand.
Five
Live. And they were chatting about like with Bruno, he thinks his greatest attribute is that like he just knows where always like are the right spaces to find and where to be on the pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about that, and you know you think about his assist in the final.
Yeah,
he just knows. Yeah. He knows how to like hold off, play it in. So
exactly.
I think he's gonna be a great tournament player and we'll see what he does though, yeah.
Yeah, to be fair, like it's not a bad shout. I'm just
up in there.
You just don't like Bruno.
I'm that's facts. Ronaldo. Yeah, that's I just don't. Yeah, I just don't. I can't lie to you.
I'm going Ronaldo still.
Oh, swear.
Do you know what
I'm going for my goal still.
I hear it.
Do you know
what's online? People are saying that Ronaldo's gonna be the one who's found out this tournament. Like he's gonna be washed.
I saw that.
You saw it, innit?
Yeah, what is that? Yeah.
See certain people like I'm not going to say it too much.
Makes no sense.
No sense.
But yeah.
I prefer not to
say it. Yeah, honestly.
Well, you know what, bro?
You
know what? It's because we don't really know the level of the Saudi league yet. So yeah, he's scoring a lot of goals there. But we don't really know how that ranks up against... Obviously, he's nowhere near as good as the Premier League.
Yeah.
But he could get found out in the Euros, man. You actually never know.
But do you know what we do know? What? Who Cristiano Ronaldo is. And
who he was or who he is?
No, who he is. Because, Listen, even when he went
to Saudi,
when he went to United, people were saying, oh, he can't do it in the Prem, he's too old.
18 league goals.
And then even the season up, the
Saudi
like,
league.
Yeah. No.
I'm saying Prem.
When he came back to United,
the guy still lit up. He still dragged United through the Champions League, I'm sure. Like, it's Ronaldo. Like, it's not like we're talking about Iniesta, who's playing in Japan, getting called up for Spain. We're not talking about that. We're talking about Cristiano Ronaldo, one of the greatest players, if not the greatest player we've ever seen.
In the Saudi League, you know, like, Benzema went there, Neymar, other players who are, like, a lot younger and you could say should be more in their prime, right? They haven't done what he's done there.
True.
Benzema hasn't scored, like, over 15 league goals in Saudi League.
True.
But to be fair,
Neymar hasn't done
true,
that.
True.
You know what I
mean? Benzema's a weird one because I saw he was beefing his manager.
Yeah, like, he's had some issues. He's had some issues as well. But yeah, man.
I hear that. That's a good point.
You know what I mean?
That's a good point.
Other top players have gone there and haven't been able to replicate that. So we'll see where I go on though. But let's move on though. How you guys feeling about Mbappe, man? Mbappe finally got out of the hood, man.
I don't think they let him out, you know.
You don't think?
I don't think they would let him out, but
they didn't have a choice, did they?
I like it, man. It's good.
How do you guys feel like he's going to fit into the team, though? Under Carlo Ancelotti?
It's all about ego, you know. It's ego, because obviously they're all left-sided. Rodrigo, I think, needs to be the one to bite the bullet and just play wherever he's asked to play.
Yeah,
he's not in a position to really talk too much. But I feel like it'll be best if Vinny's on the left, Mbappe up front, and then Rodrigo on the right. But it's all about how Mbappe takes it in terms of him not receiving the ball as much as he would like to.
He loves to get on the ball, Mbappe.
That's the problem.
He loves it.
But in terms of, out of the three of them, he's the best striker.
100%. Yeah. I think he's the best player out of all three of them.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. But I think as a nine, as
that's debatable.
Well, current form.
Him and Vinny. Like,
wait, no.
Current
form. Hold on. What do you mean?
Vinny Junior. Like he's right up there with Mbappe.
I wouldn't say he's right there with Mbappe, but he's right up there.
No, he's right up there with currently. Mbappe
no, he's not. He's not. No. Sorry.
Over the last season, would you not say Vinny is the best player in the world?
Nah, I'd still say Mbappe. So look, I can't lie to you. There's things that I've seen Mbappe do that I'm like, no one in this world of football right now is doing that. Like no one. Like you see the way that Mbappe, when he gets on the ball, his directness, you can say maybe Vinny has that as well. But the effectiveness of his dribbles and the amount of, times he scored goals and it's like everyone thinks he's going to go to far corner and finesse it like everyone else does. Nits, and he gives the eyes and he does it near post. And now it's become his thing and they still can't stop it. It's a thing where when Mbappe gets on the ball and he's driving at you, it's much more. I'm not gonna lie. See, if I'm a defender and I have to choose one between Vinny Jr. and Mbappe, I'm choosing Vinny Jr.
I'm choosing
Vinny Jr. because Vinny Jr.
Vinny, yeah, he is relentless at going at you. His pace, his dribbling. He's good in front of goal as well. Also, he's got. I would personally say he's got more flair than him. He's he's more unpredictable than him in terms of that his dribbles at you, and I would just say like he's a bigger threat personally on the wing. I don't think anyone better than Vinny in the world right now. I don't think anyone he's better than
all. I don't know.
In the world right now.
I don't know. I think the only thing that is a detriment to Mbappe is that he's playing at PSG, and I feel like now finally he's at Madrid, and now we're gonna. I think he's gonna even have a different role in comparison to what he had at PSG. Though.
I'll give you that. Mbappe, he's more prolific. Like he's got he will score like 30 goals, 40 goals a season. He's got that in him, where with Vinny Jr., I guess you could say he got a different role, but we haven't seen him score 30 goals. Like, so, I mean, that type of...
Yeah. Well, you know I mean? It might be that Rodrigo isn't in the starting 11 and it's...
I think he will,
on the right or something.
I think Rodrigo is still playing in the starting 11. Yeah. But, like, even with Mbappe, we've seen, like, last World Cup, that final.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not... Vinny Jr. isn't resurrecting France's dreams like that. No one on this planet in this day and age is doing exactly what Mbappe did in that final.
I mean, he's got that in him though. But I hear you. You got to give it to him.
I'm saying off the last year, over this last season, what Vinny has done, like.
I'm not going to lie to you. I think Vinny's obviously had a better year because he went all the way to the final and he won. And he actually pulled up with clutch moments, not only in the final, but in the semis as well.
Each year.
Yeah, like, I hear it.
Did it against... who was it the previous round?
Man City.
He did it. Do you know what I mean? So he's always been, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's interesting. And also, you know Vinny Jr., he's got, I think in the past, in his last like 4 or 5 Champions League campaigns, he's got like 12 assists in knockout stages.
Yeah.
The most, how do you guys feel about the debate about him and Neymar, about how he's kind of...
I'm not hearing it.
He usurped his legacy.
No, you can't hear that.
Like, on paper, like Champions Leagues, league titles, if it gets the Ballon d'Or, it starts to look a bit different.
I'm not going to lie to you, I'm still not hearing it.
Okay, I hear you.
No, but you can't do that. You never know. You can't say, oh, no matter what Vinny does, he will never get to...
No, I'm not saying no matter what he does. I'm saying right now, I'm not hearing it. If he continues doing this for like another 3, 4, 5 years and he, you know, does get that Ballon d'Or,
different story.
Then I'm like...
He'll get the Ballon d'Or this year.
Yeah, he very well could. Yeah. But then I might be like, I don't know.
Yeah, but Neymar, you could say he was up against prime Ronaldo, Messi.
Do you get it? And
14-15, he deserved the Ballon d'Or, 14-15.
And a prime Suarez.
Yeah, but also...
Because
Vinny's up against...
Bro, it was a joke.
Yeah, but Vinny's also up against... Bro. Vinny's up against Haaland. Vinny's up against Bellingham. Mbappe. Vinny's up against Mbappe. Look, I'm not saying that they are at the levels of Ronaldo and Messi, but I'm saying I feel like the competition is even more now.
It's different. It's different. Trust me, it's different. Because I'm not going to lie. Aside of Vinny, you just said it. It's Mbappe and Haaland. There's no one else really...
Bellingham. People were talking about Bellingham being in for Ballon d'Or shots.
People were saying
he's the best player in the world.
Because people are getting carried away. And I'm not going to lie to you. I think people are just getting carried away. Like, when we talk about Ballon d'Or, we're talking about the best player. And I feel like what it's become now is who wins the most trophies. Mm. And it shouldn't be that. Mm. Because when it was Ronaldo and Messi, even times where, you know, one didn't win the championship. Bro, you know this player is the best player in the world. And I feel like back then, Neymar had too much. It's the same reason why people like, what was it? I think it was 2011, Frank Ribery. Absolutely insane. Mm. But he didn't win the Ballon d'Or. Why? Because there are two aliens going Messi, back to back. It's unfortunate.
I think Vinny will
surpass Neymar's legacy.
I think he will, if he continues at
this trajectory, then I think he will.
But my only thing is, I don't think he will internationally. I don't think he'll score
as Neymar.
But I mean, at club level, yeah, I think he can do for sure.
I think it also depends on, you know, the career path he takes. I think we had this debate the other day about, you know, the path that Neymar took by going to PSG and all of that, and whether that was a good or bad move.
That PSG move, man.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that helped his career. So if Vinny makes the right decisions transfers wise at the right times,
I think his career.
If he does that,
to be fair, he can
surpass.
If Mbappe comes and, you know, there's a falling out between the two, and Real Madrid have to choose one.
The ego's now, and you got Jude, and but you could say though, Carlo Ancelotti is the best coach in Europe. I mean, people want to deal with those egos.
His experience
with the best players in the world, like he's the best person in Europe to do that. But yeah, man, like, and we'll see how it goes. Personally, though, as an Arsenal fan, like, I do kind of feel like this Mbappe move, I don't know, there could be the child in me, but it feels like,
yeah, like, I know exactly where you're going. Yeah, man.
The league tight, like they just won the Champions League in the league. Mm. Like, you're going to go and join them. It feels like, bro, like, you could have taken a bit more of a fun.
What would you do if you were him? What would you do?
Honestly, if this is me on like player career mode of FIFA, yeah, I ain't going Real Madrid. I'm going either Arsenal.
If it was you in real life, Real Madrid or Arsenal, come for you. Like, Real Madrid, Arsenal, which one are you going?
If it's same wages?
Same wages.
I think I'm going Arsenal, bro.
I'm not gonna lie. But listen, the thing is, the path is there. Everything is there for him for him to follow in the steps of TH14 and surpass it.
Honestly,
that's why I was like,
the heritage.
Like, it makes sense. It does make sense.
Guy.
Like, I'm not gonna lie to you. No one's gonna say no to that number 14. Like,
yeah,
I might have to.
But
you know what I mean. When you snatch
it. What if you're not an Arsenal fan?
Yeah.
What if you were not? If you're a Real Madrid fan,
yeah,
and Real Madrid came for you now.
Yeah, see, if I'm a Real Madrid fan, it's different.
That's what I'm saying. For TH14, we don't know. Barcelona may have not been coming in for him at that point where he decided to go for Arsenal.
Yeah, you don't know his option, basically, innit?
When he went to Arsenal?
Yeah. But he wasn't a star then.
That's what I'm saying. So it's a different thing. I get what you're saying about following that route and, you know, overtaking that legacy, but...
Yeah.
If we're being honest, you've got the option to go to any club in the world.
Madrid.
And it's not just about the route you're going to go down, but it's about what's the end goal here to win the Ballon d'Or. So you want to play at the top level with the top players every single week. And also you want to win as many trophies as possible.
Many trophies.
Mm. You can't leave that and just say, yeah, for now, I'm going to just take a different route when you've got the option there.
Yeah, I think if anything, like, if I'm being sensible, best option is to go to Real Madrid. And if anything, that route to Arsenal is still going to be available potentially after Real Madrid.
He can win some trophies at Real Madrid and then come back to
Real Madrid. Because we've seen it with great players though.
It's possible.
We've seen it with great players.
Yeah, but
I think Bellingham should do it.
True.
For Arsenal.
But my only thing is this, if you're the best left winger in Europe, as you said earlier, in your opinion, right? And you're going to Real Madrid, who have the second best left winger in Europe, in your opinion, right?
Yeah.
As a protagonist, why am I going Real Madrid?
I hear it.
Why am I going Real Madrid? I want to play on the left wing. It's where I enjoy, all my football is where I get all the ball, I get all the dribbles, I get all the goals. That's how I play.
Because you believe in yourself and you're that good that you can go to any club and no matter who's there, you're going to start.
But now you're going for a battle. Why am I going to battle?
You know, you need battles. If a team's gonna, it's like Real Madrid saying that, well, we've got Vinny, why are we signing Mbappe? We've already got Vinny, who's even younger than Mbappe. So long term, Vinny's a solid option there.
Mm.
But you want competition. The players want competition, or they should want competition, and so should the clubs as well.
I hear it, yeah. Because you don't want people like Vinny and want to come become complacent and rest on their laurels and be like, yeah. I'm top dog, it's all right.
Yeah, hey, yeah.
That makes sense to you, fair.
Yeah, but now you've got to be shoehorned in the striker role, and it just feels like, why am I going to go with shoehorned manager? I can go Arsenal, I'm starting left winger, the Arteta project. You've got a great defence behind you. Odegaard, Saka, Kai. Like, you've got top players now. Like, it's not Arsenal back in the day. Like, you've got a world-class team. You've got the probably Arteta, the top five manager in the world right now, I'd say.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
You don't agree?
I don't like to admit it. But I'll say,
coach.
Yeah,
right. Like, you've got that project there.
Yeah.
I'm saying, you know what it is? I'm going Arsenal, man.
I hear it.
Real Madrid is there, but like
it makes sense.
Champions League every year, bro. What
yeah,
am I doing
so, and yeah, look,
I'll be
thinking, I want to win.
Because realistically, I'll be thinking, all right, if I go to Arsenal,
yeah,
chance of me winning the Champions League, it's possibility. I'm not going to write that off.
Yeah, it's not.
But the chance of me winning the Champions League at Arsenal over the next 3 years is going to be tough. If I go to Real Madrid,
gonna be less
I'm going to win the Champions
but
League.
But Mbappe changes those odds for Arsenal, though. He doesn't really change odds for Arsenal.
That's true. Yeah.
He does change
the odds. He moves the needle for Arsenal. He doesn't really move the needle for Arsenal. He just won the league and Champions League.
He won't change it that much for Arsenal if he wants to go there.
No, he'll change a lot. He'll change a lot.
You need the whole squad. Not just.
Because when you think about over the last 2 years.
Because that's like saying, okay, he had PSG. How many times did he win the Champions League with PSG?
That's
different.
The brilliant
players he played with.
No, but the team wasn't the same, though. The squad that Arsenal have.
I don't know.
Over the last 2 years, what people have said about Arsenal is that we're lacking someone in that final third to make things happen and score. And Mbappe is Mr. Make Things Happen and Score. But
I agree.
I can't lie.
I'm not saying Arsenal don't need him. Of course, every club would want
Everyone
him.
Would love him.
But I mean, from his perspective,
if
I could choose any club, I'm going to Real
Madrid. Yeah, Real Madrid, 100%. It's a different knock.
I hear you.
But you know, I don't think he's going to play up front at Madrid, you know.
So where do you think he'll play?
I think he's going to play on the right. I think we're going to see Rodrigo more central because throughout the second half of the season, that's what we saw happen. And we saw Rodrigo start to shift that not into the middle, but also to the left and Vinny sort of swapping. So I feel like it'd be a front three of Vinny on the left, Mbappe on the right, Rodrigo up front. And then
There will be some friction there.
How long does that last for, though? Because you know when you first join a club, you've got the honeymoon phase, right? Cool. You do anything, innit? But after a while, man, you get to October, you get to January, you aren't scoring as many goals, you feel a bit uncomfortable, you're out on the right, so you're not coming onto your strong foot. You know what, you know, like, he loves doing that.
Yeah.
Like, how long does
that last? I think by this time next year, there's going to be at least one of the big players leaving because you've got those three that we've mentioned in Rodrigo, Vinny and Mbappe. You've got Endrick. You've got Valverde, you've got
Brahim Diaz.
There's so many.
I'm there for it. If Real Madrid scraps, bring me some of that. Hey, that brought me Ozil. I don't mind, innit?
I don't mind. So what, are we full out the pack, innit?
Is that Maria? To United.
Bro, do you get what? Who is it? Diaz, Rodrigo? I'll take him.
I'll
take them.
But yeah. How do you feel about Tony Kroos' retirement, though, man? His last ever game was that final Wembley, man.
Yeah, it's...
Where did he rank for you guys in all-time centre-mids, man?
He's definitely up there.
He's high up for me, man.
I think I put him above Modric, even though Modric won a Ballon d'Or, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
I would put Kroos above Modric in all-time centre-mids, I think.
Not for me, slightly.
Because I don't think...
It's club, but not for me, slightly.
I think
Modric is more complete for me.
Modric is more complete, 100%.
Yeah.
Oh, then again, I don't know.
So if you look at from where Modric came from as well, when he went to Real Madrid at first from Tottenham, people were saying that he weren't going to be good at all.
They voted him worst signing.
Worst signing. This is so like. So I think I prefer Modric, but I think both of them, like, it's you know, fine margins.
Like Toni Kroos coming up at Leverkusen and at Bayern, and I have obviously we both have vivid memories of this where Toni Kroos was playing a more advanced role at Bayern.
He came to Emirates.
And he was clutting it off. He was doing dirt. It's only when he sort of like, I guess the last year of Bayern and when he went to Madrid that he now sort of, exactly. And I feel like Kroos has proven to do that. I don't think Modric can do what Cruz does.
No, he did that at Spurs. They were playing 10 at Spurs.
No, no, no. I don't mean 10. I mean that more reserved role and actually having that much. I don't want to make it sound as if I'm saying Modric doesn't have an impact in the game, because of course he does. But the way that Cruz dictates the entire game, not just the tempo of the passing, the entire game. And then he's just doing these diagonal balls that are pinpoint. The guy doesn't, I think he averages like around 90 to 95% pass accuracy. A season, not a game. I think it's like,
tough between the two.
Made the most three balls into the final third in Champions League this season as well.
Yeah.
But I would just say, I think the reason why I prefer Modric in his prime, obviously, is because he was just an engine, man.
Yeah.
He just kept it ticking. He was so, like, in how he approached the game, how he kept the ball, how he progressed the ball, how he beat the press.
Yeah.
Unreal in his prime. Do you know what I mean? So,
yeah, it's true.
Another thing is, I always have a bit more of like favour for people who played in multiple leagues as well.
Okay.
For long periods of time as well.
What do you mean by that?
Cruz did that, right?
Yeah, because Cruz did that. Bundesliga and La Liga.
Oh, he played in the Bundesliga.
That's where it came from, bro.
Yeah.
He called that Bayern, yeah.
Bayern. And he was good at Bayern. It wasn't even like he just,
When Lahm started coming into midfield and it was him and Lahm.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo, please.
Oh, nuts. Nuts.
I think it was short-lived, but it was crazy.
Yeah. Serious thing from him still.
Yeah, man. Him, Vidal, Thiago there as well.
Unreal
team,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's a tough one, yeah.
It's tough still. I think with Cruz, yeah, I think it's great to see him end on a high. And I saw like a lot of people saying that it's good to see like players end on a high. Like, he's world class and he's ending. You
know? Yeah.
He's going out on his own terms. So it's great to see that. And of course, he's going to have his last chance at the Euros, isn't it? Next week. So we'll see what happens there.
Yeah.
Let's keep going to a few transfer like news and stuff. How you guys feeling about you guys just transferring though? And how you guys feeling about Sesko as well? Because there's a lot going on about him at the minute. There's a lot flying around about his release clause.
Yeah.
Him being a huge target for United and Arsenal and Chelsea as well. There's a few clubs in for him. How do you feel about him?
It's weird.
Do you like him, Arsenal?
I would. And the reason why I would is weird because I thought Sesko was like 23. He's 20, which is a massive difference, because at 20, you can still deserve to be that raw talent that needs a bit more moulding and a bit more maturity and whatnot. And I feel like in his first Bundesliga season, he's done quite well for a 20-year-old as well.
I think he had his birthday recently. I think he might be 21. He's 21.
He's 21? Maybe.
He had his birthday like a few weeks ago. So he could be, but yeah, go.
Okay.
And this season, to be fair, he got
21.
14.
Okay, yeah, 21.
Yeah. So he got 14 league goals and 18 all comps this past season for like a 20-year-old for most of the season, right?
Yeah.
That's still. It's not
bad.
It's good output, right?
It's good, but I feel like it's not really what either team needs right now. I thought Arsenal need it. I think you need to get rid of both your strikers, respectfully, in Jesus and Nketiah.
Okay.
And I feel like you need two strikers. You need a younger one and an older one. But I feel like the priority for Arsenal right now should be getting an experienced striker, because you have a great squad right now.
Yeah.
And I feel like striker and left back are your two missing pieces in this jigsaw. And I feel like once you get the striker and left back, you guys can take it to another level, both in the league and also in Europe.
Yeah.
And I think with Man United, we already have a young striker with great potential in Hoyland, that we also need an experienced striker more than we need a younger one.
Martial,
so yeah, you can. So I don't really want Sesko.
Yeah. And to be fair, they're like similar profiles. Like, I think Sesko is 6'5" or 4", and Højlund is.
Yeah.
I feel like you need someone who can bring you a different dynamic.
Exactly.
And definitely a bit more experience. You know. Yeah, I heard Callum Wilson's on the market. He's a bagsman.
Nah.
But yeah, definitely need an experienced striker.
I'm not sure how I feel about Sesko, if I'm honest. Only stylistically, but I do get a different option, and I feel like with Arsenal, with Kai's form up front in the like last half of the season, he's made it a bit awkward now. Because now it's like, do we need to spend big with Kai?
Yeah.
We still need to, because we need a different option, and he's not a bona fide striker like that, like Turner Bags man. So I think it's made it a bit awkward, but we'll see. I'm not too mad at him still.
I hear it.
Yeah. How you feeling about United's window though? I heard a few rumors about Bruno being a bit unhappy with how the squad.
That's his agent trying to do some work. I think everything's all up in the air, because the Ten Hag stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm so annoyed. Well, not annoyed. I don't care that much. But, like, it is a bit annoying, though, as a fan, because I want to know what's happening with the club. I want to know what's happening with Ten Hag.
Yeah.
Mm.
Every single year, United takes so long to get our deals going.
Yeah.
And I was thinking that, all right, we've got these new part owners and Jim Ratcliffe and Ineos that, you know, so we're going to do some signings quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But then to think it's taken so long because all of this manager stuff, yeah. There's no point in us signing any players without, the manager being, yeah. you know, sorted out. Yeah. So, but in terms of what I thought we need, I thought we definitely need at least one centre back, maybe two.
In McGuire this season, you think?
I don't think he should.
Varane's going.
Yeah, I think because Varane's going.
It's an end of goals, man.
Right.
Yeah, but we have to be careful because realistically, how many players are you going to sign in one season? So, and then in that sense, how many players are you going to let go of? But I think we need a centre back. We need another striker. We need another midfielder. And then after those three, we need another left back. And then we go back to a second centre back. So we have a lot of business to do. Yeah. So to let players go, it's going to... I mean, even us letting go of Varane, I think
it's very tricky for any club.
I think especially you want it to go, though.
Yeah, definitely. Probably, I think it's tricky for any club because you've got the Euros and a lot of players don't necessarily want to be thinking about their, as weird as it may sound, they don't want to be thinking about their futures whilst they're in the Euros, and it'll be hard to get medicals done to talk about.
Yeah, it's tricky. It's, agents as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
that happens on FM. If you try to talk to a player like before a big tournament.
Oh yeah.
And it's real though.
Yeah, like, you got to wait till August.
Also, I feel like Memphis Depay said this, but I feel like a lot of the players want to perform at Euros
and they see
the options open up.
So it's either you do it very early, or you have to wait until around August time, and then even then, some players might get called up to the Olympics. It's difficult.
That's good, man. I get bored in the summer when there's no football. I need football.
The players start getting injured by October, then everyone's looking around, though. That's a good conversation to have about a few different areas and stuff. Is there anything that people to know about you guys' platform and anything coming up soon?
You can check us both on The Final Whistle on YouTube. Obviously domestic season's done, we're going to be doing some Euros coverage as well. I've got a couple things on my own personal channel, Mids MB, that'll be coming out around Euros and some other stuff as well. Raph,
just subscribe to The Final Whistle.
To The Final Whistle, man.
For sure, man. One last question. If there's anybody that you like to see on the sofa in the coming weeks, or is there any, it could be a creative, an artist, business owner, is there anyone that you know that they are like, I'd love to see them come and have a conversation and explore their journey.
But here,
You know what? My boy Jay Millie, I think he'd be good.
Okay, yeah. Jay Millie, yeah?
Yeah, I think it'll be a good conversation still.
Is he like the artist or is it? Creative,
yeah. Okay. So more so like, to be fair, I don't even know. He does a lot, but from what I know, mostly like the in and outs of like the football business, kind of behind the scenes, media, all that sort of stuff. Serious. Yeah. So he'll definitely have some good stories for you and some insight.
Nah, serious, man. I appreciate you guys jumping on, man. It's been a good conversation. And guys, if you like the episode, ensure that you like, you comment, you subscribe. We've got more conversations coming this summer. We've got Euros flowing. You've got a lot of things happening this summer, so ensure that you're locked in. It's been a little while that we've had an episode, but you know what I mean? We're back below it and have a great week.